I'm Denise Bortry, the director of the Page Center here at Penn State University. And today we are going to talk to one of the leading scholars in public relations ethics, Shannon Bowen. Dr. Bowen is a professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of South Carolina. She's widely published, and you can read a regular blog that she writes on ethics at PR News, and I'll post the link so that you can read some of her writing later. So welcome, Shannon. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to have you guys read that blog. I do a lot of conversations about management strategy, always with an eye on ethics. So if you can't get behind the paywall at PR Week, you can find that blog for free on my faculty bio page at the University of South Carolina under Dr. Shannon Bowen. So there's a list of those over on the right. We call it PR Pros, but it's the same thing that gave us permission to reprint. So that's a great way to sort of get some background on ethics and learning how to lead and be a manager.
That's great and very generous of you to offer. Thanks. So my first question for you is, this week the students read their first lesson on ethics and communication, including terms like axiology, categorical imperative, deontology. It might be a little overwhelming. So if you could boil down this topic, what do you think are the most important things for professionals to know about ethics in public relations and strategic communication?
Thanks for a great question. Well, I teach this class on a regular basis, and I always tell students, don't be overwhelmed at first. It's like learning a foreign language. You have all of these terms, but honestly, they refer to things that we probably already know or that we've already thought about at some point in our lives, even if we've never studied ethics. So things like axiology, think about that as values. And deontology refers to principles and duty. Utilitarianism, you might not be there yet, but that's the utility of a decision. What does it do in its outcomes, just like the word implies? And the categorical imperative is really essential for decision making. Although the term categorical imperative is clunky, let me give you a quick overview of what that is. The term categorical imperative simply means it's categorical because it's not hypothetical, situational, or conditional. Categorical means everybody's obligated by the category of being a human being. An imperative is simply something you must do. So it's not as mystifying as it sounds. There are three forms of the categorical imperative that you'll probably be reading at some point. I've written a great deal about ethical decision making using the categorical imperative. The first form is universal duty, or what would any rational decision maker do in a similar situation, no matter where they are in space or time, given the same conditions, what would any rational person decide? The second form is the form of humanity. Basically, does this potential decision maintain dignity and respect for all people involved? Because we're all humans, it prevents us from using people as a means to an end or as a sacrificial lamb or for our own selfish gains, because it requires dignity and respect for all people. And then the third form is the kingdom of ends. It's a little more abstract, but it essentially says, what would a person of good moral character do if they had good intention all the time? Is this a decision that maintains goodwill? And it's made from a place of goodwill and good intention, rather than selfishness, bias, prejudice, greed, exploitation, and so on. So it's our final check to give us that, am I doing the right thing in principle perspective? And with the categorical imperative, Immanuel Kant, who's the philosopher who invented this perspective, says that you have to meet all three of those standards in order for a decision to be truly ethical. Now, we know in the real world, a decision might meet two of those standards, and we can kind of guess at the third and hope that they had good intention. But when you're making the decision yourself, you really need to think about all three of these things and make sure that you're maintaining a universal moral duty, that the decision has dignity and respect, and that it is made from a good intention. And if you do that, you've probably thought more about your ethical decision in that means of analysis than most people do with their decisions. And so you can be confident going forward that you're doing the right thing if you have met all three of those rigorous tests. So that's a great question. And I'm happy to go into more detail, but I know we only have 18 minutes.
You're right. That's absolutely true. So first I'll comment, the volume's going up and down a little bit on your end. So I don't know if you're getting closer or and further from the microphone, but I just wanted to note that. So my second question is, what are some of the common ethical challenges that professionals face today? Are there issues that earlier generations of professionals did not face that the professionals today are facing?
There are a ton of ethical challenges when you're talking about strategic communication. Probably the very first and most basic one is in our use of research. We wouldn't be strategic without research, but what do we do with all that data? And sometimes, more importantly, how do we get that data? Is the data about something that's private? Is it too intrusive? Sometimes we don't know. If we buy the data from a market research firm, oftentimes we have no idea how they're gleaning the information. Sometimes it's repeat shopper cards. Sometimes it's paid panels and polls. We're just not sure. So it always is a good idea to ask how the information was gleaned. Secondly, when you're getting that information, are you doing anything that's too intrusive? Now, this gets to the second part of your question, because nowadays we can track where people are with their cell phones up to 2 times per second using Google location. That's a lot of information on where people are and what they're doing. For example, you may go to a drive-through at certain chains like Del Taco, and on your phone will pop up the menu for Del Taco. It's not magic. It's because they do market research and they pay for location information so that they can send that menu to your phone, hoping to speed through the order process. But is that too intrusive? What if you're on a diet? What if you don't want your personal trainer to know that you were at Del Taco and there it is, it pops up on your phone a few minutes later, thanks for running by Del Taco before you went to the gym? So there are lots of ethical questions, and that one is maybe a little bit silly, but you get the idea where we're getting into territories of privacy. And this happens all the time with internet advertising, especially with Facebook and other social apps. You get to the point where they glean your shopping information, and then something shows up on the side panels of your email or in Facebook, not even a minute after you were looking at the product. So how is that information being used? That's something that we need to think about. Sometimes it's innocuous, but we always need to think about how is that going to make the people on the receiving end of the communication feel? Do they want that information to be displayed on a public computer terminal or on their work computer? You know, is it something that would be invasive, embarrassing, invade their privacy in any way? That's something that we need to think about now that I don't think professionals had to think about so much in the past. In the era of basic advertising in newspapers or even direct mail, things could easily be discarded. They didn't follow you around. Like nowadays we have with your phone, your tablet, your computer, the ads follow you around. Is that something that we can consider ethical or not? And I think it does depend on what the situation is, who the people are that are being targeted, what the product is, and so on. But we always have to think about that nowadays, where that wasn't an ethical concern in the past. And after research being used as our number one example of what's ethical, the second thing I would say now that we have to think about in terms of ethics is, how do we respond to our stakeholders and publics, or are we responding at all? For example, you can't put out a great series of strategic communications saying, we care about our customers, we stand behind our product, and then ignore them if there's a problem. You have to build in that two-way symmetrical communication feedback loop or a two-way dialogue so that you're actually listening and actually responding if you say that you are. Otherwise, it's just a lot of fancy words or even inauthentic or dishonest communication to say that you're actually listening when you're not. So having that built in requires resources, it requires planning in your strategic management process, and it requires an ongoing commitment to whatever that message was. So you have to staff the email responder, you have to staff the phone lines, you have to have someone on Twitter who's going to answer inquiries and so on, rather than just thinking, well, the campaign's over, now we can move on. That's not the case. People expect continuity, and having that continuity builds trust. But if you mismanage those expectations, you're going to ultimately damage the relationship with those publics and stakeholders, which is obviously not what you want to do. So you have to think about the long run implications of your communications as well. But that is a great question. There are a lot of other new challenges, but I think those two are our main areas to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like what you said about the two-way communication and the significance of that, the significance of listening, not just communicating, but actually listening to what stakeholders have to say so that you can make better decisions and make ethical decisions that take into consideration their concerns. I think that's really good. The other thing, and the students don't know this yet, so you gave them a little preview in the lesson about digital communication and digital ethics, they're going to read your guidelines that you proposed. So that's actually part of their lesson coming up. So they've heard a little bit of that now, and they'll get to read more about your thoughts in a couple of weeks. So thanks for previewing that. My last question is, what advice do you have for new professionals who are starting to think more about their ethical responsibility in the workplace? How would you advise them?
That is a fantastic question. And, you know, I wish I had a professor who asked me that question in my master's degree program before I got out into the real world. Unfortunately, I didn't. In my law and ethics class, it was 99.99% law. And, oh, by the way, don't get in trouble. So I think this type of question is what arms you for what you need going forward. And here's why. If you don't think about ethics, you can get into a lot of sticky situations before you even know it. You'll be in over your head if you never think about ethics. And if you only follow the directions of your supervisor or your team without thinking about ethics. So my advice to keep you out of sticky situations is, always think about ethics, even when no one mentions it, even when no one asks you to, even when it's not part of the conversation. And in fact, I would say think about ethics more when it's not part of your conversation, because that means people are going forward based on strategy and research and the goals for a client or organization or campaign without necessarily thinking about the larger picture. And we have to think about the larger picture because we're the keepers of a reputation. As strategic communicators, we worry about reputation and maintaining relationships first and foremost all the time. And moving the needle or selling a product or service or gaining results through communication is a secondary outcome. So we have to always first think about reputation and relationships in terms of building and maintaining those through trust and integrity and doing the right thing so that we meet the expectations of our stakeholders and publics. And the only way we can really do that is to always ask ourselves the ethics check question. Okay, what would they think of this? How does this look from the outside? Even how would our competitors view this? How would our industry association approach this? Or how would our critics think of this decision? And if you run that super quick, I mean, that's a 10-second check. But if you think about that momentarily before you act, I think every decision you make is going to be a little bit better. It's going to be a little bit more strategic in terms of maintaining those relationships, because you're not just moving forward with what you want to do without considering your stakeholders, your publics, and the larger environment of your industry and even your society. Those are the things that give us the ethical check, where we say, wait a minute, this could be perceived from a different perspective. Maybe we should rethink this, or maybe we should reword this advertisement, or reword this particular promotional item, or think of another way that people could reach out to us. So you're trying to get yourself in the perspective of the user of your product or service, as well as those around the organization, even your competitors and your government regulatory agencies, so that you're maintaining respect and you're not doing things that could get you into trouble. Now, I know you're probably thinking that sounds like a top-level management concern, and yes, it is, but it's also everyone's concern. I think everyone has to think about ethics, whether you're wording a brochure or whether you're at the very top level advising the CEO. The more people we have thinking about ethics, the more likely we are to do the right thing and to consider our duty to publics and stakeholders and act with respect and good intention. So I think that's the first thing you do. You always think about ethics and then move forward. Thanks for the question.
Sure. Yeah, I like what you said about the more people you have thinking about ethics, the better off the organization will be. Absolutely. That makes great sense. This is really the responsibility of everybody, not just the top level executives.
That's absolutely.
Good. Well, this has been insightful, helpful. Thank you so much for joining us. I think this is a good place to wrap up. Thanks for sharing your insights about the importance of ethics in communication. And hopefully this helped clarify some of what the students read this week.
Absolutely. And thank you for including my readings. I hope they're not too boring for you guys. If you have any feedback or any questions, you can always email me directly. In addition to your professor, I'm happy to hear what people think of my research, or if there are any particular examples or uses, or just if you have questions. So my email is sbowen@sc.edu, and I'm always happy to hear from students. So thank you for inviting me. Thank you for working through my articles, and thank you for giving me a few minutes to chat with you. I think 18 minutes, maybe exactly. So hopefully we haven't kept you too long.
Excellent. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks. And thank you for inviting me. Thanks, everyone.